This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We are back here on the morning shift in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We celebrated, and Dylan, happy belated birthday, by the way.
Yeah, did you get any good gifts yesterday?
Thank you, Tiff. And I got a $50 digital gift card from my brother and his girlfriend. And
that works.
Is it for a certain place?
No, just I can spend on whatever.
I love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's
A1. Excuse me when you said digital.
Very solid gift.
Simone got me the game that I've been asking her for that I can stream. Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
just let me know if you need the smoke on that. I've never even played it, but I know I'd give it to you.
Nah, bro, you wouldn't. Right. You can't see
it. Yeah, go ahead.
And then my mom sent me some money as well. And yeah, so.
Nice, just, dude.
Just a couple little knick-knack gifts here and there and then some money. So it's all I can ask for.
An open-ended e-gift card for $50 is like another gift worth $100.
It really is.
Like, I just get to do what I want with it. Sure. It's like handing me a $50 bill, but it's just on online shopping.
Can't go wrong, man.
It's like you're on Donnie B's level. My dad, his birthday was over the weekend, and instead of gifts, he decided just to have us all transfer him money. So
Donnie B's got it right.
So it was really funny because we sat at the table and
diabolical.
I was joking with my sister. Are we supposed to sing happy birthday like when the transaction happens? And so we did. And we actually gave him a legit happy birthday.
I love that.
But it was funny because he hates being on the internet, even though he's on the internet, but whatever, another story. I posted him basically because you could look him up. Like, I'm laughing like, what are you talking about? And I've been on the internet against my will because of you. But anyway, it's a story. So I post him basically scrolling on his phone to make sure that the money.
Hey, make sure that money hit. Make sure y'all wasn't fraudulent. He had to make sure y'all wasn't capping.
You said
transaction. I'm like, does he need to just, do y'all just need to exchange routing numbers for future birthdays? You know what I mean?
So no,
just
we were like, all linked.
Y'all hit him with a quick sale,
way,
you know what I'm saying?
Get that routing number, that account number, just go ahead and get that direct deposit set up on a yearly.
What is the deal with that? Like, older people refuse to use Venmo, and it's like, no, Zelle. And
it's actually quite simple. I prefer Zelle too.
I prefer Zelle as
You don't have to pay the transfer fee when you
use
Zelle.
You don't pay a transfer fee with Venmo.
Yes, you do.
If you do it instant, you definitely have to pay
the transfer fee. Why do you need the money instant?
Because we want our money now.
We want your money.
What was that JG Wentworth commercial?
How much are you guys
Venmoing? It's my money and I need it now.
I mean, how much are y'all Venmoing that you have to, that it's make or break that it goes through in 1 to 3 days?
Make or break, we just want it now.
One Venmo, but some value. valets take Venmo. I don't know. There's a lot of, I don't know.
Venmo has never, it never takes
what's
the
your
full 3 days.
No, it does.
I'll tell you what mine is with Zelle.
Because it's
Zelle
annoying.
Zelle is always, when you get like hacked or there's some kind of, like, it's always Zelle. Like you, somebody on like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist is trying to be like, I don't take Venmo, I take Zelle. It's like, dude, I don't know.
For me, Zelle amongst family is not an issue. Yeah. So, but and I guess I'll Venmo like a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. That protection.
Now, to Bo's point, the Venmo and stuff never usually takes that long. It usually takes maybe a day or half a day. But still, I just like the instancy of Zelle better.
Well, it's annoying because you're like, hey, every time I'm in a big group, like, hey, just Venmo the money. And then there's one guy, oh, I don't have Venmo.
Now, to me, that's
just download it. I got Zelle. Well, okay. And then, it happened to, one of my best friends, he doesn't use Venmo. Now, his wife does, luckily, so.
To that point, I think it's okay to have your preference, but I think you should have all the apps downloaded at this point.
I don't have Cash App.
You shouldn't have all the apps downloaded.
Cash App is such an outlier. Like, I do Apple.
I have everything else but that,
I just feel like if you're not willing to go to a certain app, then at that point you're just kind of being difficult. Unless you like, if you have one that you're against, I understand that. But, I mean.
And the other problem I had, I used to use Zelle, and I had it all set up, and then something happened, and I didn't change banks, nothing, but. It all reset, and it's like, you got to redo it. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
I got PayPal. I got Apple.
I was like, I already had you, and you deleted my information. That's on you. Yeah. You don't get me back.
But real quick, to Donnie B's point, I mean, I feel like, one, when you are that type of person that you are very much okay and very much embraced just receiving money, I feel like you're – not only doing yourself a favor, but you're doing other people a favor. It's like, it ain't that deep. Just give me some money. I'll go get what I want. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to put the thought into it. If you want to, go ahead. But you can just give me some money.
But quick question. How was this route suggested? Did you guys bring it up? Like, is
no.
it okay? Well, he just straight up. That's what I think is different. Like, I don't know if I just straight up. Like, I respect him so much for that. Just being like, straight up, hey, y'all owe me. I've been paying for your birthdays for 40 years. You know what I mean? Like,
tabs come and do.
Yeah. Tabs do.
I want
he's been doing it. Like, this is the first time we've actually just like transferred money like that. Like, in the past, it's been, hey, this is exactly what I want.
Like, we can skip
you guys
the card,
chip together,
Dad.
Go get it. So now he's stepped it up a notch. I mean, I told y'all I got a voicemail from him years ago that's like, hey, I'm collecting. And it was like, what?
I love that.
Like, what is he talking
about? Good for him.
It's that time.
Yeah.
On a different level. All right. Let's bring it back to football now with the Falcons. And the need for a pass rusher and some other additions as well. Could they go via the draft, or are we still talking about some free agents here? We know one is possibly off the market now, and that's according to senior NFL insider for The Athletic, Diana Russini. She said this on X. Sources say that Cincinnati is working to retain Trey Hendrickson, their pass rusher, and discussions are ongoing between the two sides. So the Bengals are attempting to do what many in the league thought difficult, and that's keep and pay all three of their stars, which, of course, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase reportedly just signed contract extensions. They're also paying Joe Burrow. A lot of money's being dished out. So how can you keep the guy that racked up all those sacks for you just a few seasons ago?
Yeah, my favorite part about all this is Cincinnati is going to overpay for every single one of them because they were so dumb that they refused to pay when they earlier. They could have paid T. Higgins 2 years ago.
Definitely taking the Cowboys route here.
They could have paid Ja'Marr Chase 2 years ago. They could have paid Trey Hendrickson before last year and not have to pay anywhere near what guys like Myles Garrett is getting. It's dumb. This is like one of, everybody wants to crap on Atlanta for this Kirk Cousins situation and how it's been mishandled. And, we can sit here and argue left or right and all day till the cows come home that they did or they didn't. But this is way worse the way the Bengals are handling this situation because they're going to put so much money into four players. And I saw somebody tweet it, and I had to go double check, but somebody was like, T. Higgins is getting more money, and they're getting less out of him than the Falcons get out of Drake London.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting way to put it. That'll make you sick to your stomach if you're a Bengals fan. There's another There's another talking point that I want to approach, you know, in this conversation. And I've seen a lot of this reaction from Falcons fans when this news came out about Trey Hendrickson possibly resigning. I saw a lot of Falcons fans, media personalities, whatever, on the socials that are like, oh, you know, edge rusher in the first round confirmed. Edge rusher in the first two rounds confirmed for the Atlanta Falcons. Dude, I'm not going down that path again. I refuse to do that again, where in the next 5 weeks I set myself up to think that we are drafting anybody with any amount of certainty.
It's what we got into a discussion about the other day. Remember a week ago or 2 weeks ago, it was the day we had the Hawks 99 on the game night, and I was like, nothing means nothing with this organization. I heard it yesterday. I heard someone say, well, with Mike Hughes here, clearly the Falcons don't need to draft a cornerback in the first round. And I was just thinking, yeah, they do.
That's not the way this franchise goes about its business.
It's not the way the franchise goes about its business. And I don't know if you've watched football in the last 10 years, but if you're under the thought process that you don't need three starting caliber cornerbacks in the NFL in 2025, then we must be watching completely different games. Because the nickel position at DB has become as important as the outside. I mean, how many really, really good receivers line up in the slot? How often do guys actually move? How many times are you at? I mean, the nickel cornerback has essentially become your third linebacker. And that's why the 3-4-4-3 thing doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah. And talking to Arch about that yesterday, I know he got a kick out of it. I was like, Arch, can we just say that these guys are, who were we talking about yesterday? Morgan Fox? We're talking about B-gap defenders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know you got a kick out of that, but it's true. Like, there's so many different ways of putting it. And you're right. You need a lot of corners. You need a lot of people in the secondary. And that's why, look, and I think that's a prime example. Let's look at the safety position right now. You don't have Richie Grant. You don't have Justin Simmons. This team has shown a willingness to wait long term before you plug somebody in at some of these starting positions defensively. We got it, you know, a week until the first game of the season last year when Justin Simmons signed. So I don't think it means anything if you do or you don't get Trey Hendrickson. I'm all about it. I'd love to sign him. I'd love to sign Za'Darius Smith. I'd love either one of those guys. But it doesn't mean anything necessarily if you do or you don't moving forward. I'm not going to fall into that trap again where I have expectations moving into the draft. Now, I will say I think it has to be a defensive player for me right now. And maybe I'm falling right back into that trap. But we've been four straight years of first rounders, and so maybe it's just something I shouldn't do.
When Will Campbell falls because of his arm length, and the Falcons pick him up and throw him at right tackle,
right?
There's obviously some tongue in cheek in that, but
it's not. You're not far off. You're really not.
Do not get your heart set because you don't know what they're going to do. Now, the fact that they went and put so many guys at, a pro day at, like, Georgia, and it's just public knowledge of how many, I think something like 22 guys went.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's just an amazing number that went there. It means there's somebody there that they're really interested in. And it might not be Mikael Williams. I'm pretty positive Jalen Walker, a miracle happening. You know, maybe he had a gas mask on the day of the draft smoking weed or something, and he fell to 15, they would take him. But that short of a gas mask, I don't know how Jalen Walker falls.
Yeah.
And even then, he might not fall out of, past 10.
Well, and look, I think we're going to be asking ourselves for the next 5 weeks, would the Falcons be willing to take Malachi Starks at 15? Because that's a position of need, and that's a guy at Georgia, and that's obviously the comments came out about, you know, how the Falcons felt about him. And he's a good player. So, I know there's corners, there's safeties, there's people all over the place. Like I said, I'm not going to fall in this trap, but the fact that you sent only defensive coaches to Indianapolis, you got three first-round defenders in Athens, I guess I am setting myself up to say they'll take defense first round. Oh, well.
All right, well, I just started thinking of, the dogs of the north. Is that what you call them? Philadelphia?
Yeah, the Philly Dogs.
Who's their latest addition to the group through free agency? That is next when we return here, give you some NFL headlines on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift. Dylon, did you do anything for your birthday yesterday?
It was real low-key. I just went out to Simone, actually, when I got back to the apartment. She actually had breakfast ready for me, so that was nice.
At 1 o'clock when you got home? Because you always get home late. You never leave
somewhere,
here.
It was somewhere around there.
Oh, wow.
It may or may not have been somewhere around
breakfast
there.
Breakfast was cold.
You've got that youth power then, because there's no way I'd be...
Dylon will stay here to 3 point. Or 4 o'clock in the afternoon some days.
Speaking of your youth power,
never 4, but yeah.
To Tiffany's point, I saw that I think when you – so your girlfriend put out a birthday message for you on the socials, and you retweeted it.
Yeah.
At like midnight, bro.
Oh, yeah, I did. We were up
– I was like, what is this guy doing? You have to be here at like 4 a.m.
We were still up watching White – we started White Lotus last
did
night.
Did you really?
It's so good.
Yeah,
I'm very intrigued about this yesterday.
Wait.
And Walter got –
first season.
Okay.
Yeah. Started from the
Well, you're on season 3.
Yeah. So you're just starting.
I just finished season 1 Sunday night.
These two just started the entire series. You and I are both on season. I haven't started season 3 yet.
I think the first season, if I remember correctly, for me felt slow, but I did it anyway
because like
I was like, let me just
up.
Stick with this.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know.
But I'm intrigued though. Like they're laying the groundwork and I like it. And then second of all, for season as far as season 1 goes, the season 1 cast is star-studded. I mean, I'm like, dang, I know all these people.
Yeah, it's not as
What's
your rant? It's not as much in season 2. There's not as many like known stars in season 2.
But that's okay if the story's good, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. So what's your rant?
I didn't like any character in the whole show. Like
wait,
I didn't
wait,
like
what
not
season?
One of them. Season 1.
Okay.
I just finished season 1 on Sunday night, and I made the proclamation yesterday. I was like, it's a good show, but I didn't think one character was actually likable the whole way through, which is interesting to me because...
By the way, Mike, you're spot on by that.
It feels like I watched it like forever ago.
Every single character at some point in those, 6 episodes, every single character had a 1 or 2 episode stretch where I was like, you need to be punched in the face. Like, this is ridiculous.
So true.
Like, all of them. I'm like, my gosh. Like, y'all are all freaking annoying, man.
That's kind of the theme of the show. I haven't started season 3, but everybody on there is a selfish person that you can't.
That's the masterpiece of it all. Yeah, that's the masterpiece of it all is that everybody, you know, in that show is it's, I don't even know how to put it. They're all on equal footing.
You all get an
equal insight into all the characters and all of them. At some point, you're like, you're being such an idiot. But yeah, I mean, it was solid. We'll go back for season 2. We'll probably start that up some point this week, but it's solid overall. Solid overall.
That's fair.
Not what I was expecting, but yes, solid overall.
I had to pull up the cast from season 1 again just to remember, and yes, it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, we made it through the first 2 episodes last night, and so far, like I said, it's been a slow build up, but I've enjoyed it so far. It's intriguing. I can kind of get a theme of where it might be going.
I can't tell who I dislike the most on that season 1. Alexander Daddario's husband, or or the daughter and her friend.
Daddario's mother-in-law. Daddario's mother-in-law.
Oh, well, he hasn't even gotten there yet when she shows up.
I actually have a very quick story about the daughter's friend, Brittany O'Grady. She actually was on a show in Fox. This is how I first found out about her and watched her in a show. She was on a show on Fox called Star, and I was actually an extra in that show. I was a cop in that show, and I actually got a little bit of screen time. I have to show y'all pictures during the break.
With her?
Or breaking news.
Yeah, she was in the show, and I was in two scenes with her.
Wow. How was she to, Dylan, as they say in the industry, how was she to work with?
Oh, she was fabulous to work with.
Wait, you were with Alex Daddario? Is that what you said?
No, Brittany O'Grady.
Brittany
O'Grady. Yeah,
I was like, interesting. You have to.
Yeah, I'll show y'all some pictures. I was a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the daughter and her friend are just horrid human beings, and so's that husband of Alexander Daddario. They're like all
the husband,
awful.
And I know we got to move on, but the husband though, when he's on the boat with the lady with the ashes, I was in tears laughing
at
that scene.
Don't spoil it for Dylan.
Looking at his face in that.
Don't get too excited here, Mikey. I ain't there yet, brother.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's get some NFL headlines. We're going in the huddle. All right. We talked about the Dogs of the North, where a lot of former UGA players end up with the Philadelphia Eagles. And now free agent pass rusher Azeez Ojulari has agreed to a one-year contract with the Eagles. Yeah,
he's a name that I think that a lot of Falcons fans kind of kicked around, especially last year around the trade deadline. He was a name that was being thrown around. They have pass rushers up there in New York last year that you thought, okay, they'll move on from Azeez. And obviously him being a Georgia guy and being a hometown guy here in Atlanta, you thought, hey, I'll connect the dots on that. But the numbers don't line up, and obviously he's going to go to a place that's known for getting the most out of their pass rushers and see if he can shine there. I don't hate it for him. I think it's just another name to cross off the list if you're a Falcons fan, unfortunately, because like Rob said on Friday, we are thrifting at this point until we're not.
It's an extremely cheap deal, too, from what I've seen, like $4 million. That's not anything, but I think he needed to go. Look, this was a career. This is a career move by him. A decision.
Yeah, I agree.
His career. He wanted to go somewhere that sets himself up to go up there and be able to get after the quarterback. And with the defensive front, the defensive line, and especially the interior that's built already up there, it seems like a good place. They're replacing him. He is basically Josh Sweat's his replacement.
Speaking of friendly deals, then Ronnie Stanley, who is with the Ravens, so he's one of the top available offensive tackles this offseason in free agency. He chose to re-sign with Baltimore for a team-friendly 3-year, $60 million deal on March 8th instead of testing out free agency. So, I was up there for the draft that year when they took him, and since you brought up the Laremy Tunsil and the mask stuff that you were talking about earlier, it just made me think of that. But, again, he chose to stay there. That's where he wanted to be.
Yeah, this is one of those things. And I know that I can hear Mark Zeno in the back of my head talking about how well-run the Ravens are and the Eagles and everything else. And that's true to an extent. And I think it just speaks to the head coaches when you have players return just like this. And it speaks to the quarterback and, the situation about how much there is to look forward to. And I don't blame him for wanting to be back there and be part of that offense and, be a part of something they definitely feel like they're building.
Yeah, I would love to sign a 3-year team-friendly deal, station-friendly deal for $60 million. I mean, that's only $20 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, the word team-friendly and $28 million a year just doesn't seem like they go together.
Well, in NFL terms, maybe, but he cited, of course, loyalty, again, being one of the reasons why he wanted to return there. Mm. The Minnesota Vikings have released their longtime center, Garrett Bradbury. That happened on Monday, so the move comes after sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter last week that the Vikings would first try to trade him and the team's first-round pick, or he was the team's first-round pick in 2019.
No, Mike, when I heard Garrett Bradbury, I know the system they run. I know the size. He's a 6'3", 300-pound guy.
Sounds a lot like Drew Dolman.
So I immediately think, problem is, what's the money like? But is that a guy that would fit here that could replace? Now, I know that Neusel's on the first right to refusal, and basically it means he'll be back here unless the Falcons just absolutely don't want him based on the money. But, does the shoe fit?
I think it does to an extent. And it, the caveat comes with every single one of these guys we talk about. And I'm so tired of saying this, but we're not in the same situation yet that Chicago, Carolina, New England, Houston, we're not in that situation yet where we can just go out and spend with abundance. And so, yeah, I mean, at the right price, of course. I will say Garrett Bradbury is a very good center. It is curious to me that they signed Ryan Kelly kind of over his head and just decided that he was not going to be a part of that picture moving forward.
Because Kelly does not normally fit the system that they run.
Well, he probably can, and he's a bigger dude, but you know he has the versatility. But he's a former All-Pro, Pro Bowl center, and I think Bradbury is respected like that. But he definitely fits kind of what Atlanta wants to do. Because you remember last week this was announced that this would happen last week on the same day that David Andrews let go by New England, and I got a lot of questions about David Andrews. Like, he doesn't fit what we're trying to do now. Garrett Bradbury, at the right price, definitely probably could. I would be curious to know, though, what the hiccup was with him in Minnesota as far as not fitting in their long-term plans, because whatever it is could be something that would be a hiccup with the Falcons.
Yeah. All right, and Lane Johnson, the Eagles' standout offensive tackle, he reworked his contract to add $8 million over the next 2 years and an additional $30 million in guarantees, his agent told Adam Schefter. He also added a one-year at $25 million to the deal. So he's now under contract through 2027.
That's something that's, yes, he deserves. He's a great player, but that is also something to extend money and to create more cap space for them so they can get more things done, and soon, including the rookie draft class that they'll have to sign.
Lane Johnson is the best right tackle in football, and it ain't even close.
Is he the best right tackle we've seen in the last 30 years? Right tackle, not left.
Let me think on that. I'll get back to you.
Because he's pretty freaking good.
He is.
We'll let that marinate. Well, for the Braves, Spencer Strider had a heck of a first game back from his surgery. He's been out for almost over a year. We'll discuss that. And we've also got him mic'd up ahead.
Yeah, we got him mic'd up to get to. There was a couple of pretty upset college basketball teams yesterday. Some lawsuits, some apologies. We'll get to all that coming up and mic'd up. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Wow, four pitches, already a ground out and a strikeout, and there are two away. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, Spencer Strider. 1-2-3, near perfect in the first.
That was Brandon Godden on the call of FanDuel Sports Network for Spencer Strider's return. Back to the Braves lineup. So he's on the mound for the first time in almost a year, through 2 1/3 perfect innings for the Braves in their spring training game against the Boston Red Sox. He struck out 6 of 8 batters he faced. Let's take a listen to what he thought of his performance.
That was good. It was just good to, we've thrown two lives, so the pitch count floor was 30 already. So we talked about if things go too well, do we go up for the third? Face some more hitters just to get the pitch count close, and that's what happens. So that's a good problem to have. So definitely a good step today.
That's what I'm talking about. I did think it was funny, too, looking at yesterday and his performance. Just, we didn't know if it would happen, and then, we figure out Sunday, I think it's talked about. We talked about it yesterday that, Spencer Strider will be on the bump. We've talked about May, and, Rob and I talked to Grant last week. It's like, when Ronald coming back, when Spencer coming back. Like, I don't want them to rush, and that's the biggest thing for me throughout spring training is do not rush this guy back. Do not get his, pitch count somewhere astronomical right now. But as long as they're just plodding along and he continues to throw as efficiently as he is, I'm just so excited. And Chris Sale said it yesterday. Don't forget, this guy is still the best pitcher on the team, which is insane coming from the reigning Cy Young champion that you were able to say something like that.
Yeah. 8 hitters he faced. He threw 27 pitches. Like Steph said, 6 strikeouts. I mean, it was one fair ball hit, and that was the first pitch he threw, which was a ground out. It was a pretty brisk day yesterday in Atlanta. Pretty windy, kind of chilly. It was like gave you a warm feeling inside. Kind of warms you up like a bowl of chili does in December. The fact that Strider went out there and just was dominant. This is a team that didn't do anything during hot stove season, and there was a lot of frustration. The only thing we got was Yerkes and Profar, and so everybody was frustrated. But when you get a guy like Spencer Strider back, which is a Cy Young candidate, when you get a guy soon back who's an MVP, and Ronald Acuna Jr., it makes you feel like you've done something. I mean, I know that yesterday they went out and signed first off, it looks like Drake Baldwin is going to be the guy catching on opening day,
yeah,
which is good since I drafted him on my fantasy baseball team. But the second thing is that they James McCann was signed to a minor league deal, and he's a catcher that has spent a lot of time with Baltimore, spent some time with the Mets, and it's a good insurance policy.
I believe, yeah.
It's a good insurance policy for them. But I don't know what that means. White Sox as well. I don't know what that means for Sean Murphy and his rehab with the broken rib, or if you can rehab a broken rib or just the healing
of it.
You just
got to let it heal.
But you're optimistic. You're very optimistic after seeing what Strider did. It makes you feel good.
And he showcased some of his skill set. Again, he threw a 96-mile-per-hour fastball that was against the Red Sox prospect Marcelo Mayer. And then right after that, he spun a curveball that was 17 miles per hour slower. So, again, good to have him back in the fold.
It's just I don't remember being that excited for a moment in spring training in a long time. You know, I know that there's been guys like rookies that have been brought up and in big league camp, and you know the Michael Harris is the world, and you know you go all the way back to Jason Hayward or whoever it may be that you bring into camp and you know kind of explode on the scene, and they're highly anticipated. But just a guy that you know is a top of the rotation guy, but has never really been allowed to fully hit his stride in Major League Baseball. And Spencer Strider has everything in front of him now, and it feels like you're just reloading this thing to be able to make a run. The Sean Murphy news that came out, man, it just made you sick to your stomach, and you hope that this is not a team that's going to catch that bug anytime soon.
Yeah, the thing that you need from Strider is the efficiency that he showed yesterday, and it's something you haven't gotten from him in his career. Is he has guys have been able to, you know, it's basically not being able to develop multiple, you know, more than what two and a half pitches really, and then it being fouled off. And what happens is that you get deep in innings and you don't go deep in games, and then you add him with Ian Anderson has been very shaky at time with his control. But the emergence, and or what the hopeful emergence has been this spring, what it looks like with A.J. Smith-Shawver, who could he be this year's Spencer Schwellenbach? Actually, no, he couldn't, because Schwellenbach came out of nowhere and never even pitched in AAA, makes his Major League Baseball debut, and never left the show again. That said, though, he could be the next version of a young guy who pitching-wise who jumps on the scene and replaces a veteran that they've gotten rid of or refused to sign to a contract in Max Fried. So there is some excitement around this team, and it seems to all be coming from the pitching staff, starting pitching rotation with the return of Strider and maybe the emergence of A.J. Smith-Shawver.
Today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. All right, a couple of subpar happenings in the college basketball world yesterday. I want to start with the West Virginia governor, Morrissey is his last name, and he comes out and announces that, you know, there's going to be a lawsuit against the NCAA, calls it the National Corrupt Athletic Association, and kind of goes on a tear in a press conference that I think a lot of people were paying attention to yesterday. The quote says, "Now, who was the last team to get into the tournament ahead of the Mountaineers? That would be the University of North Carolina. Now let's see how their resume stacks up. The Tar Heels went 1-12 in quad one games and even had a quad three loss. We keep hearing about the importance of these quad one wins, but UNC couldn't even get more than one." He also goes on to highlight the fact that Bubba Cunningham, who's on that selection committee, is the AD for UNC. Although I will say, and he didn't mention this, Bubba Cunningham has repeatedly said he was not in the room for this part of the selection process. How do we feel about this topic that keeps coming up every single time there's a selection or a Final Four in college football or a Final 12 in college football, the 68 in college basketball, that there's going to be somebody intervene, a governor, somebody's getting sued over the amount of, because the amount of money, but this just seems like this is starting to get tired, man.
What I'll say about this particular situation is I feel like this is the first time that I can recall that every single analyst, everybody seems to be in agreement of UNC being in this thing and how they should be watching at home. And yeah. I haven't really seen that sentiment. I don't think.
That's a good point.
I don't know if that's ever, or it's been a long time since I feel like everyone's universally agreed on a team not deserving to be. And I'm not saying they don't or whatever, but.
That sounds like you are. It's okay. You can bridge that gap. Everybody's with you.
With everyone saying that. So the governor maybe he has a case.
I think it's proof why we have too many teams in the NCAA tournament. I mean, we're arguing about two 19-13 teams.
Well, expansion's looming.
Now I hope it's not, because 68's too many. The fact that we have play-in games tonight that most people won't watch, North Carolina's going to be in one of them, is ridiculous. Now, we don't need 68 teams in this. 64 was the perfect number. But TV got involved.
Entertainment is the worst enemy of athletics.
Look, I 100%, well, that and to this story, governments getting involved. We don't need government, and we don't need the entertainment aspect of actual sports ruling the day. I mean, we just don't need it. The fact that this term was used, this was a miscarriage of justice and robbery at the highest levels by a state elected official to describe a college basketball tournament is the most asinine thing I've heard in a long time. And we're living a state of, not a state, but like an era of our world where we're just topping each other with these types of statements constantly in every walk of life.
And that's why I think that I look at it and I'm like, dude, it's just falling on deaf ears for me. I get it, but you're like his explanation so over the top. There's such a high amount of like pandering in this entire thing, you know, the corrupt athletic association, that I'm just like, okay, like it just seems like the NCAA, have they ever won a lot? They have been sued left, right, backward, and forward for the last two decades, and they never win. They never win.
My biggest thing, my favorite thing these days is when people want to blame the NCAA for something that happens in college athletics and it's 2025. I'm not sure.
They have nothing to do with it.
I mean, are we going to blame the NCAA? I mean, we just blame them for everything. And I'm at the point where I'm like, wait a minute. Half the time I hear how inept they are and how they have no control over everything, but as soon as one thing goes wrong for your team or one of somebody that you like, it's suddenly the NCAA's fault and we should just get rid of them. At this point, they're just a building.
Yeah.
Indianapolis somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. I will say, and I just said, they don't ever win lawsuits. I think they'll probably win that one when and if it is brought to anybody's attention. There's just no way to win that if you're the state of West Virginia. I do want to highlight this other one, though, and this was not an NCAA tournament thing, but it was an NIT situation. So the University of South Alabama basketball team was contacted, and I'm going to make sure I get these names right, Sunbelt Commissioner Keith Gill and NCAA Vice President Dan Gavitt, I think is the name we're talking to. They were approached by the NIT, saying that one of the teams that was going to play in the NIT, UC Riverside, backed out at the last minute. They were headed to the College Basketball Invitational. Well, then UC Riverside gets out of the College Basketball Invitational. They head back into the NIT. So what do these two jabronis do, Keith Gill and Dan Gavitt? They call back South Alabama after they already told South Alabama's head coach that he could inform the team that they were going to the NIT. They call him back and say, hey, man, our bad. We got to rescind that offer. And let me just tell you something right now. This head coach at South Alabama, not a happy camper. They were the Sun Belt champs, and we'll be raising a banner in the Mitchell Center, I believe it's called. But I think, look, it's unfortunate this invitation was taken away from our program, but will not be taken away. This is the 2025 Sun Belt Conference Champion banner, and that will hang in the Mitchell Center. This sucks all the way around. And this is somebody making bad, bad decisions at the highest level of the NCAA in the Sun Belt and the NIT and whatever it is, man.
The NIT is it's almost a tournament that feels like it's just gotten so.
Yeah, you were talking about the dodo bird earlier. Yeah. I always say the white buffalo. So that's the dodo bird in the room.
The thing for me is how do you allow a team to flip flop and then take it away from another? That's where. It just who's running, who's in charge?
Exactly. That's exactly my question.
And it's a national
mismanagement at the
tournament.
Highest level from these two guys.
And I don't think the NCAA has anything to do with the National Invitational Tournament.
Well, like I said, the guy who made this phone call is part of he's the vice president of the NCAA, Dan Gavitt. And so, yeah, they've got at least something to do with handing out those invites.
You know, fire him, too. Fire
kids'
everybody.
Hopes up that they get to continue playing their season a little bit longer, probably some seniors on that team, and then to be told, nope, your season, you're done.
Well, and if you got young players, so the flip side, it's kind of like getting a bowl game. You know how college football coaches that aren't in the playoff, they like bowl games from the fact they get to extra practice. They get to work with their guys extra. That's the same, you know, you don't get as much, but maybe you get a few more games under your belt and you get to help the development of a young player. So it sucks all the way around. But, I mean, this is – college athletics is just – it's such a mess right now. It sucks.
Mm.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Up next is the wake-up call. So if the Falcons are unable to land Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals, which it looks like, according to reports, and Diana Rossini, he is probably staying, then who do you want to see the Falcons bring in before the draft? You can give us a shout. The wake-up call is next, 404-726-0929. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.